Good morning. Today's daf is Nedarim daf Lamed. Once again, Elisha Graf filling in for Rabbi Leibowitz for the course of the month. So yesterday we left off with a discussion of the end of the Mishnah that we had done 2 days ago. And again, just to refresh our recollection, that Mishnah, which was on Chaf Chesam and Aleph, had described if a person says that these natiyas, these trees, should be a karban until they are cut down, or the talus should be a karban until the talus is burnt, then ein lehen pidyon. We said ein lehen pidyon. So yesterday we were discussing what it means by ein lehen pidyon, but we were focused on the machlokas of Ula and Barpada as to what happens after the trees are cut down. Whether or not, after the trees are cut down, they require a pidyon or not. That Barpada had said that even after the trees are cut down, you still do have to be poda them, but once you are poda them a single time, then they lose their kedusha, they leave the status of kedusha. Whereas Ula had said, no, that they don't require a pidyon at all once the trees are cut down, because you, after all, said that the trees should retain their kedusha until they're cut down. Therefore, once they're cut down, the kedusha leaves automatically. So we had rayas back and forth whether kedusha could leave automatically from kedushas damim or even from kedushas haguf, so on and so forth. Today we're going to begin with the discussion analyzing the not the first case of the Mishnah, but the first stage of that second case, again, where the fellow had said that these trees are going to be kadosh until they're cut down. What we had started with yesterday was that you could be podan chozros v'kochos, podan chozros v'kochos ad sheyiktzitzu. That was Barpada Shita, that until they're cut down, you could be poda them 100 times, but each time you're poda the trees, they attach again to the Kedusha. Why? Because you said that they should be kadosh until the trees cut down. Therefore, as many times as you're poda the tree before they're cut down, the pidyon is ineffective and it immediately goes back to Kedusha. So we're going to begin today with the discussion of whether this phenomenon of podan chozros v'kochos is unique to this situation, or whether it has application in other areas of halacha. Just to finish up until the Mishnah, then the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Amud Aleph is going to begin a series of Mishnayis, the focal point of which really are that by Nedarim Holchem Achar Loshem B'nei Adam, that we know we've Rabbi Leibowitz has explained this concept already a couple of times throughout the Masechta, that by Nedarim we really have to try to figure out how people articulate themselves and what people mean when they say a certain thing. Oftentimes we know that there are two different ways of interpreting something, and really the intent or the meaning of the neder is going to be based on the most prevalent use of the word. We also have situations that we'll deal with in the coming Mishnayos and in the Gemara that follows, where the meaning of a word in the Lashon HaPasuk, in the Lashon HaKra, in the Psukim, might be a certain way, but we will not interpret the neder that way if Lashon B'nei Adam conflicts with the interpretation of the Lashon in the Pasuk. So we're going to have a series of Mishnayos, which will consume the rest of today's daf, carrying in tomorrow's daf, back and forth as to what is picked up in various Nedarim when you use various Lashonos. But we left off yesterday on Chaf Tes Amud Beis, 3 lines from the bottom, at the word Yosef, right in the middle of the line. So Yosef Rav Avin, Rav Yitzchak Berebi, Kameh de Rav Yirmiyah, V'kamenam Neim Rav Yirmiyah. So Rav Avin and Rav Yitzchak Berebi were sitting in front of Rav Yirmiyah. Rav Yirmiyah was dozing. So Yasvi V'ka'amri, they were engaged in the following discussion. Labarpada Di Amri Damra Damrit Padan Chozros V'kochos. According to Barpada, who said that during the time before the tree is cut down, that as many times as you are poda the tree, they automatically regain their status of kedusha, because the pidyon is ineffective, because after all you did stipulate that the trees retain their status of kedusha until such time as they are cut down. So tifshav tiboy Rav Yoshia. So we should be able to answer a kasha that Rav Yoshia had. So what kasha did Rav Yoshia had? So he says like this: Hanosein shtei prus prutos liisha. If a fellow gives two prutos to a woman, we know that when you're makadish a woman, you have to be makadish her with something that is valued at a shava pruta. So you give to a woman something that has the value of two prutos. So you give two separate prutos to a woman. The Amar Lan, he says the following. With one of these prutos, you should become mikudeshes to me today. And with the second pruta that I'm giving you, you should become mikudeshes to me a second time after I divorce you. So this is perhaps not the most romantic way of affecting kedushim, but this is what the guy does. The guy says, I want one to be chal now, and I want one to be chal la'achar zman. What does it mean, la'achar zman? La'achar zman has to mean after I divorce you, because once the first kedushin takes effect with the sheva pruta, the second kedushin would be totally ineffective. So the second kedushin has to take place la'achar zman. So says the Gemara, hachinami davi kedushi, that this should also be a valid, this should also be a valid kedushin. What does it mean, this should also be a valid kedushin? So the Ran explains that what happened in the case of the Mishnah, that Barpada understands the Mishnah, where the guy says that these trees should be kadosh until such time as they're cut down, that as many times as you're podeh, they automatically retain, the tree automatically regains its status of Kedusha. So if you think about it, what's happening is the guy is making a declaration at a certain point in time that this item should gain Kedusha multiple times. It takes Kedusha immediately upon the neder, and then after the pinyon, it automatically takes Kedusha until the stipulation is filled, until the tree is actually cut down. So too over here says the Gemara that when the person gives the woman two prutos for kedushin and says that one of these should take effect immediately and the second one should take effect after I divorce you, then also this should be a valid form of kedushin. The Ran also explains, you may recall yesterday we had a machlokes brought down in the Ran between the Rashba and Rav Moshe Kartabi, how we understand the actual machlokas of Barpada and Ula. Again, certainly it appeared in the Gemara that there was a machlokas about what happens once the tree is cut down. Do you require an actual pidyon or not? That Barpada had said you do require one final pidyon even after the tree is cut down, whereas Ula said you don't require a pidyon. So the Ran had explained that according to Barpada, who says that after the tree is cut down, you do require a pidyon, he was required to interpret the Lashon of the Mishnah of Ein Lahen Pidyon, not that they don't need a pidyon, because according to Barpada, they do need a pidyon, but Ein Lahen Pidyon, meaning that a pidyon is ineffective. And for what period of time is a pidyon ineffective? It's ineffective before the tree is cut down, because as we're seeing now, as many times as you're put to the tree, it goes back to its level, it goes back to its previous status of Kedusha. So Rav Moshe Kartabi had said that according to Ula, who says that once the tree is cut down, you don't have to be poteh them, he understands Ein Lahen Pidyon in the traditional sense. Ein Lahen Pidyon, they don't need Pidyon. And therefore, he's not forced to say that Ein Lahen Pidyon means that the Pidyon's ineffective, and before the tree is cut down, as many times as you're poteh them, it automatically goes back to its level of Kedusha. So it could be then, according to Ula, Ula wouldn't necessarily agree with the first halacha of Barpada of what happens before the tree's cut down with it going in and out of Kedusha a million times. So the Ran just points out that depending on how we understand that machlokas of the Rashban or of Moshe Kartabi, this kasha of the Gemara is either a kasha both on Barpada and on the Shita of Ula, to the extent they both agree what happens before the tree is cut down, if you're podet, whether it goes back automatically to its level of Kedusha, or it could be only on Barpada. The Ran also points out that even if you want to say that the kasha is on both the Shita of Barpada and Ula, the reason that the Gemara now explains, or the reason that the Gemara articulates this kasha as a kasha on the Shita of Barpada, is because Barpada is the Man D'Yamar who says this explicitly. So what Ula holds about the time period before the tree is cut down is itself subject to a machlokes that Rishonim that's brought down in the Ran. Since it's Barpada who is the Amora who articulates this expressly in the Gemara, that's why the Gemara brings this down according to Barpada. But in any event, the basic proposition here in the Gemara is that just like Barpada says that when you are makdish a tree until the time that it's cut down, if you're podet, it automatically regains its level of kedusha. You should be able to answer the question of what happens if a guy gives two prutos to a woman and says that one of these should take effect now and the other of these should take effect after I divorce you. It should be good, because apparently you could stipulate at a certain point in time that Kedusha should take effect now and later. That's what we see from Bar Pada. So Yalter Bar Rav Yirmiyah, so this got Rav Yirmiyah's attention, and Rav Yirmiyah woke up. And Amar Lahu, so my kama demisan. So how could you compare this Padon Hu le Padon Acherim? One is the case of where he is Podeh, the woman, where he is Podeh, the item. The other is the case of where somebody else is Podeh, the item. So Hachi Amar Rav Yochanan, did Rav Yochanan not say that Padon Hu Chosros Fekochos, that if he is makdish an item, and then he is podeh the item, then the item can automatically regain its initial kedusha. But padam achirim ain chozros v'kochos. However, if other people are podeh the item, then they don't, or then that item does not automatically, then that item does not automatically retain its status of kedusha. Why would we distinguish between padan hu and padan achirim? So the Ran explains like this, because because it's all a function of in whose control the item is. If it's a case of Padon Hu, if it's a case of where he is Podeh the item, then the item is either in his possession or it's in Hektish's possession. He already said it should be Hektish. So long as the item is in Hektish, great. It belongs to Hektish. Once the item goes back to his possession, then it's in his possession, but he's the guy who said that it should become Hektish. So it's bouncing between him and Hektish, and since he was the guy who made the stipulation it should be Hektish to begin with, so it goes back and forth, it's all great. But in the case of the woman, it's not a case where he is being po to the woman. When the woman is divorced, it's not like he is kone the woman back, and therefore it's within his right to be makdish, to be makadish by the woman, to be makadish the woman again. He's makadish the woman, now she's his wife. When she's divorced, she, kavayachol, is kone herself. She belongs to herself. She is now free to become mekudeshes to whomever she wants, not necessarily to him. Therefore, when she's divorced, he loses control, as it were, over the woman. And because he loses control over the woman, it's not within his power, it's not within his wherewithal to stipulate now that a second kedushin should take place la'achar zman, because in the interim the woman goes out kaviyachol of his rishus. So Rav Yirmiyah says you can't be medama a case of Padon Hu, where it never leaves his rishus, to a case of Padon Acherin, where it does leave his rishus. So v'isha k'dam Acherim dami, and like we've been saying, that the case of a woman is like a case of like a case of Padon Acherim, because once she is divorced, again, explained the Ran, once she's divorced, she retains her own flexibility and her own control over who she's going to marry. It's not like she goes back to the Baal's Rishus, and the Baal therefore has the ability to stipulate that the second Kedushin should take place automatically. The Ran also says that, of course, and we pointed this out yesterday, that when we were making a comparison between the case of Kedusha Isha and Kedushas Haguf, the Ran had pointed out that these two cases are not exactly alike. That even though we want to say that a Kedusha Isha is a type of Kedusha Saguf, it's obviously not the same type of Kedusha Saguf as we're discussing when we're talking about being Makdish, an animal to the Mizbeach. And so too over here, says the Ran, when we say the case of Padon Acherim is Padon Acherim, that the case of a woman is like Padon Acherim, it's not really like Padon Acherim. By Padon Acherim, if somebody else would come and be poda an item from Hektish, that item belongs to the other guy. All right, and the reason that Padam Acherim, the original owner's automatic kedushin, doesn't work is because once it belongs to another guy, the initial owner can't stipulate then that it should become hektish again, because the original owner has no tfisa on the item anymore. Now it belongs to the other guy. But the woman, it's not like it, when she's divorced, she belongs to someone else. What it means is that she has no shaychus anymore to the first guy. So the Ran says you have to be a little careful here with all of the comparisons between Kedusha Isha and Padon Hu, Padon Acherim, Kedushas Damim, Kedushas Aguf, because they're not exactly analogous. cautions the Rans. But anyway, Rav Yirmiyah had said, no, you can't prove anything from the Shita of Bar Padan, the question of Rav Yoshia, because there's no comparison between the case where the guy is makdish the trees and the case where the fellow gives to the woman to Prutos l'shem kedushin. Say Mar Nami, Amar Ravami, Amar Rav Yochanan l'shonu l'shabdanu, avol p'don acherem in chos rosh v'kosho. So again, the same basis for distinguishing between the halacha of Bar Pada and the shaila regarding which Rav Yoshia opposed his question. Good. So that concludes the discussion of the previous mishnah. The next mishnayos get much, much easier. So again, the next couple of Mishnayos finishing out today's daf and going into tomorrow's daf are going to talk about the principle generally of Nedarim Holchen Achar Lashon B'nei Adam, about how by Nedarim we interpret the Nedarim based on colloquial usage of words, and the Mishnayos are going to give various examples of various Lashonos that could be used and how we interpret those Nedarim based on whatever Lashon B'nei Adam may be. So says the Mishnah, Hanoder Meyardei Hayam, if a fellow is Noder not to have Hana from Yardei Hayam, from sailors, from people who travel on the seas, from seafarers, so Mutter B'Yoshvei Hayabasha, he's mutter to have hana on Yoshvei Yabasha, from people who are standing on dry land, because it's obvious that he only intended to include in his neder sailors, people who generally are on the high seas. Meyoshvei Hayabasha, however, if he is noder not to have hana from Yoshvei Hayabasha, then Usr Meyardei Hayam, then he is also not allowed to have hana from sailors. Why? Sheyardei Hayam bechlal Yoshvei Hayabasha ninu, because the Yardei Hayam are included in those who are Yoshvei Hayabasha. In other words, the fact that somebody is a sailor doesn't mean he's not a land dweller, because everybody, after all, lives on the land. The Ron explains that even sailors come back to dry land once in a while. So every sailor would be considered a land dweller, but not every land dweller could be considered a sailor. People who hate sailing, people who never go on boats, are certainly not considered sailors. So to the extent you make a neder not to have enough from Yoshvei Hayabasha, you would be allowed to be nene from you would be allowed to be nene from Yardei Hayam. So says the Gemishna, now something a little cryptic. So loke elua shaholchen me'akol liyafo elabamisha darko lafaresh. We're not talking about somebody who stam goes on a boat from Akko to Yafo, which is a very short distance. We're talking about somebody who goes on a long voyage. So the Gemara is going to discuss what clause of the Mishnah this particular line is going on. So says the Gemara like this. So Rapapa Ravacha Bered Ravika, Rapapa and Ravacha Bered Ravika, Chad Masni Aresha v'Chad Masni Aseifa. One learns this last statement of the Mishnah on the Reisha, on the first case of Hanoder Meyardei Hayam Mutter B'Yoshvei Yabasha, and B'Yoshvei Yabasha Asur Meyardei, and one learns it on that case of Hanoder Meyardei Hayam Mutter B'Yoshvei Yabasha, and the other one is Masni Aseifa. The other one learns it on the Seifa, which is Hanoder Meyoshvei Yabasha Asur Meyardei Hayam. So Mandatani Aresha Masni Achi. So the one who learns it on the Resha will learn like this. Anoder Meyardei Hayam. We saw in the Mishnah, if a guy is Noder Meyardei Hayam, says he's not going to have Anoah from seafarers, Mutter B'Yoshvei Hayabasha, he's Mutter to have Anoah on Yoshvei Hayabasha, Ha Meyardei Hayam Asur. However, it is Asur for him to have Anoah from seafarers, because those were the people who were the subject of his Neder. But the question is, what do we consider a seafarer? Who is he not allowed to have hana from? Velo ki elu haholche me'ako le'yafo, and not like those who go on a boat, not like those who take the Staten Island ferry, or whatever, who go on a boat just for the purpose of commuting a very short distance, tahalin yoshvei hayabasha ninu. Those people are yoshvei hayabasha. When we say that he's not allowed to have hana from Yardei Hayam, it means elosh b'misha darkan lafarish. It means he's not allowed to have hana from seafarers whose derech it is to go on a long journey. So according to this reading, the statement is lakula, because we're saying that if a guy is noder from Yardei Hayam, he's mutter in Yoshvei Yabasha, and who is included in his neder le'isser, it's only those sailors who go on a very long voyage, not those sailors who go on a very short voyage. And the one who umanda masni aseifa, and the mandiyamar who learns it on the seifa, masni hachi, he's going to learn it like this. that a noder meyoshvei hayabasha, if a person is noder meyoshvei hayabasha, aser biyordei ayam, it is aser from tevana, from yordei ayam. Why? Because even, as Aran explained, even yordei ayam ultimately come back to dry land. Velo be'elu aholche me'akol yafo bilvad. And when we said that he's not allowed to have anah from yordei ayam, it means not only those types of yordei ayam that go on short distances, ela afilu b'misha darko lefaresh, even if one is accustomed to going on a very long voyage, he is still from the yordei ayam who are picked up within the definition of yoshvei hayabasha, hoel v'sofa liyabasha salik. Because ultimately, as the Ran explained, all sailors come back to dry land. So according to this reading, it's lechumra, because we're saying that all types of yordei ayam are included in yoshvei hayabasha, not only those who go on short journeys, but even those who go on long voyages at sea. The Ran paskins la halacha like this day a lechumra, because nedarim are daraisa, and by suffek daraisa we go lechumra. So generally speaking, whenever the Ran has a suffek in the Gemara, the Ran will always paskin lechumra. So he paskins like this second daya. Good, says the next Mishnah. Hanoder me roe achama, if a person is noder from roe chama, so he uses a strange lashon. So asur af besumin, he is asur even in blind people. Why? Because again, an application of the principle of Benedorim Olchan Achar Lashem Bnei Adam, when this guy said Roe Chama, he didn't mean that he's being noder only from people who see the sun, and therefore his neder intended to pick up only people who are able to see, but not people who are, Rachmana Litzlan, blind. What he meant was that his neder should pick up people who the sun sees. So how are we interpreting his nether like this? It says the Gemara, my taima midlo komar min haroin, from the fact that he is not noder min haroin. If he was noder min haroin from people who see, then you're right. Then it would be noder only from people who have sight, who have the faculty of sight, but not people who are blind. But because he's not noder min haroin, ela me roe achama, He comes to exclude what? Not blind people, but la fuke dugin v'ubrin. He comes to exclude only fish and fetuses. Why fish and fetuses? So the Ran says because fish are in the sea and therefore the sun doesn't hit them, and an uber is obviously in its mother's womb, and therefore the uber does not see the light of the sun. So in other words, when he says me roe chama, what he basically means is he's taking a neder against all people, anybody who the sun shines on, people, animals, but not all type of animals. He's not noder on fish, because fish are underwater, so the sun doesn't shine on them. He's not noder on fetuses, because fetuses are in their mother's wombs, and the sun doesn't shine on them. The Ran and Tosfos of here also explain that in addition, he's not noder on tvua and peros, even though tvua and peros, l'chora, are also things that the sun shines on, right? If you have an apple growing on a tree or a field, the sun is shining on those things, so why is it mutter on tvua and peros? So Tosfos explains that roe chama only attaches to living creatures who are made to see the sun. So in other words, Tosfos explains here, even though we said that roe chama doesn't mean row in, it doesn't mean dafka, people who see, but what it means is things that have the capacity to see. So his neder, when he says roe chama, picks up only those things that the sun shines on, which also have the capacity to see most of the time. So, for example, it picks up all people, whether it be people who could see, whether it be blind people, picks up animals, but it doesn't pick up inanimate objects, nor does it pick up things that are underwater or in mother's wombs where the sun doesn't shine there at all. Says the next Mishnah. Hanoder meshchorei arosh, if a person takes a neder from people who are of a dark head, who have dark hair, So Osir Bekrachim, he is Osir to have Anah even from bald people. Ubale Sevos, and he's also Osir to have Anah. He's also Osir to have Anah from older people whose hair is white. The Rush says he's also Osir to have Anah from blonde people or red-haired people. In other words, when he says Shchori Arosh, he doesn't mean to exclude people who have a different color hair or people who don't have hair at all. So the Gemara is going to deal with, obviously, what he does come to exclude. So Umutar, so says the Mishnah rather, Umutar benashim uvektanim, he's mutar to have Anah from nashim uktanim, she'enikrom shchori arosh ela anashim. Again, Lashem Menei Adam, when a guy says shchori arosh, he comes to include all adult males, regardless of whether they have black hair, brown hair, red hair, blonde hair, no hair, comes to pick up all men. Says the Gemara, why would this be the case? So my taima, midlo komar bebali ser. First of all, why is he usher to have anah from bald people? He's usher to have anah from bald people because he doesn't say bale seir. Had he said bale seir, then he would have evidenced a specific intent to include only those people who have hair in his neder. Because he didn't say, I'm only having anah from bale seir, but rather he used the more strange formulation of shchorei arosh, therefore he means to pick up all adult males, not only those adult males who have black hair. So umutar benashim uktanim, and the Mishnah had said that he's mutar to have anah from nashim uktanim sheinikrom shchorei arosh ela anashim, because only men are called shchorei arosh. So my taima, why are men called the shchorei arosh? Why are they referred to as people with dark hair? Because anashim zimnim de mechasu rashayu v'zimnim de megalu rashayu. Because men, sometimes their hair is covered, sometimes their hair is not covered. Aval nashim liolam michzu. However, women are always covering their hair. Therefore, if a person is referring to a woman by the character of her hair, therefore a person would never refer to a woman by the character of her hair, because her hair is always covered. And ketanim liola miglu, and the ketanim are always running around, try to get a young boy to wear a yarmulke, ketanim are always running around without a yarmulke. So their head is always revealed. So therefore they're always revealed, and therefore says the Ran, if he wanted to pick up women, you would have used the lashon of mechusei arosh, and if you wanted to pick up kids, you would have used the lashon of megulei arosh. So when you say shchorei arosh, you come to include only people whose head is sometimes covered and sometimes not covered. Whose head is sometimes covered and sometimes not covered? Only an adult male, not women for the reason that we saw, and not ketanim for the reason that we saw. The Rambam just says, and this is Pasha really, because this is just in concert with the general theme of all these Mishnayos, that this halacha, that Shchori Arosh applies only to adult males, holds true only for so long as people are accustomed to calling males Shchori Arosh. Nowadays, people never call men Shchori Arosh, and so the neder would have a different meaning, because again, and by nedarim is achar lashon menei adam, and really the meaning of the neder therefore changes depending on how people are using a word or a phrase at that particular time. Says the next Mishnah, Hanoder mina yeludin. If a person takes a neder from yeludin, what's yeludin? The Ran says that these are people who are born already. So mutar benoldin, he is mutar to have anah from people who are not yet born, from people who will be born in the future. Mina noldin, from people, if he takes the neder from noldin, which we had just interpreted means people who will be born in the future, but we'll see in the Gemara there's a machlokas, maybe it extends even to people who were already born. But mina noldin, if he takes a neder from noldin, usur mina yeludin. If he takes a neder from noldin, he's usur to have anah even from those who are born already. Which wouldn't make sense if noldin means only those who are born in the future. So the Gemara will say that noldin obviously means both. Nolden obviously means both those who will be born in the future and those who are born already. Rav Meir mater af bi yiludin. Rav Meir says that Rav Meir is mater even by yiludin. That if a guy takes a neder from Nolden, then he is going to be mutter even in those who are already born. So the Gemara is going to explain So in that case, who does Rav Meir Asr? Because if Rav Meir, if the guy took a nether from Nolden, and Rav Meir says that he's mutter even in those who are already born, the mashmos is that he's also mutter in those who are not yet born. And if he's mutter in those who are not yet born, but he took the nether from those who are not yet born, and he's also mutter in those who are already born, who exactly is he usher to have anav from? The Gemara is going to discuss. The Chachamim omrim, and the Chachamim say no. Lo niskavein zeh, ela b'mi shedarko. That this guy did not have this guy was not miskaven only on people who will be born in the future, but when he says minanolden, he means he is not going to have hana from those whose derech it is to be born. In other words, it means he's not going to have hana from any people at all. Not that he's only going to not have hana from people who will be born in the future. And this Chachamim is the sheet of the Tanakhama, right? Because the Tanakhama had said that if you take a neder against those who were already born, then it's mutter to have anah from those who will be born in the future. But if you take a neder from those who will be born in the future, min anolden, then it's Asur Mina Yeludin. Why is it Asur Mina Yeludin if you take a neder from Nolden? Because Nolden, according to the Chachamim, means not only those who will be born in the future, but anybody whose derech it is to be born, i.e. human beings and most animals. We'll see later in the Gemara what this comes to exclude. So says the Gemara is going to fixate first on Rav Meir. Well, Rav Meir, Velomoboy Nolden. So Rav Meir, look what Rav Meir said. Rav Meir had said that if you take a neder from Nolden, the Tanakhama said Usur Mina Yeludin, and Rav Meir Mater Af Bi Yeludin. And so says the Gemara, so according to Rav Meir, he's mutter even Bi Yeludin and Lomi Boy Nolden, and certainly in people who are, and certainly people who will be born in the future. In that case, Who's he asering? Elamiman aser. So who's he not allowed to have anah from in that case? So says the Gemara, Chzura Mechzor Avachiktani. So no, there's something missing. There's a missing girsa in the Mishnah, and this is the way you should read it. Hanoder minei Yeludin. If a person takes a neder from Yeludin, those who were born in the past, mutter benolden, he is mutter to have anah from those who will be born in the future. Minanolden, if he takes a neder from Nolden, Osur Bieludin. Then the Tanakhama says he's Osur Bieludin because when he says Nolden, he means not only those who will be born in the future, but he means those whose derech it is to be born, i.e. those born in the future as well as those who were born already. Rav Meir says, Af Hanoder Min Anolden, even a guy who is Noder Min Anolden, Mutter Bieludin, he is mutter not in Nolden, he's usher in Nolden, because he made the nether from those who are Nolden, but he's mutter in those who were born already. Ki heichi de noder mina Yeludin, mutter ben Nolden. Just like if the guy made a nether against Yeludin, against those who were born in the past, he is mutter in those who will be born in the future. So in other words, the Machlokas, Rav Meir, and the Chachamim could be boiled down to this. Rav Meir says that just like Yeludin means dafka those who were born in the past, so to Nolden means dafka those who will be born in the future. And the Chachamim will say that even though Yeludin is mashma only those who were born in the past, Nolden doesn't mean dafka those who will be born in the future. Nolden means anybody whose derech it is to be born, i.e. all human beings and most animals. So Amar Le Rav Papa L'Abaye, so says Rav Papa to Abaye, so L'meimra de Nolden de Mizyalden mashma, does Nolden mean those who will be born in the future? Elameata, but if so, how do we explain this pasuk? Shnei banecha hanoladin lecha be'eretz Mitzrayim. This is by Ephraim and Menashe. Shnei banecha hanoladin lecha be'eretz Mitzrayim. Des yaldan, achinami des yaldan avi. They were already born. So how can you say that noladin means will be born in the future when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was having this conversation with Yosef about the two sons who will be born? Hanoladin, they were already born. So how can you say noladin means will be born in the future? Velamai Diyalido mashma, does it? So what's your suggestion then? That noladin means that they were born already. Elamiata dechziv. We're going to bring another pasuk. Hine ben nolad lebeis David. There will be a son nolad lebeis David. Yoshio shmo. Hachanami Dahavi, is it possible that Yeshayahu was alive at this time? V'adayim Menashe lo ba. Even Menashe wasn't alive at this time. So how could you say that Yeshayahu was alive at this time? So says the Gemara, yeah, but why are you asking me questions from Psukim to begin with? Ela mashma hachi umashma hachi. You're right. It can mean either or. It can mean either that they were born already, or that they will be born in the future. Uvenadarim alach achar lashem bnei adam. And my nadarim, we follow lashon bnei adam. So and again, lashon bnei adam in the chachamim, lashon bnei adam, according to the chachamim, means that b'misha darko leilid. So if you look at the ran here, it's the second to last ran on the page. So b'ochi pligi rab meir v'rabbanan. The rabbanan savri d'chiyechi shenoldim b'lashon Torah kolol noldim kvar v'asidin livale. Just like in the pasuk, we have meanings both ways, where noldim can mean either will be born or was born. Hachanami b'lashon bnei adam. Also of a year, when the guy says noldim b'lashon bnei adam, he can mean either or. V'ainu d'hadri rabbanan l'meimar b'seifa d'masnisin. And that's why the Chachamim explain their view in the Seifa of the Mishnah, where they say, that this guy intended to pick up anybody whose derech it is to be born. That the day at the end of the Mishnah, the Shita of the Chachamim, is not a third day. He's explaining the view of the Tanakhama, the Amri, da noder minanolden usur bekal, to explain why when a person is noder minanolden, he's usur in everybody. Because this lashon doesn't inherently mean either past tense or future tense, therefore it picks up everything. But Rav Meir, says the Ran, Savar de Beloshem Bnei Adam Lo Mikru Nolden Elasidin Livale. Rav Meir will say, yeah, even though in Lashon HaTorah it could mean either past tense or future tense, in Lashon Bnei Adam it means only future tense. Of Yuludinami the Tavayu Modu de Motor Baosan Shasidin Livale, the Ran just explains that if the guy makes an Eder Mini Yeludin from those who are born already, that he's Mutter Tavano from those who will be born in the future. Tamayam Mishem Bloshem Bnei Adam, the Ilu Bloshem Torah, the reason that they agree has to be because in Lashem Bnei Adam, Yeludin means Dafka, those who were born already. Because if it would be Bin Lashem Torah, from Lashem Torah there's no Raya necessarily. Why? Kiechen the Mashma Nolden Kfar, Kedichsiv Kalam Hayeludin Bemidbar, Chanami Mashma Sidin Livalik Kedichsiv Kalabain Hayilod. Because the Ran says that in the Pasuk we have instances where Yeludin means were born, and we have instances where Yeludin means will be born in the future. Kalabain Hayilod. That any child who will be born in the future would have to be thrown into the Nile according to Paro's commandment. But they agree because in Lashon Bnei Adam, Yeludin means only those Shenoldu Kfar. So the Gemara just finishes up. The Chachamim say that when the guy says Nolden, he doesn't come to include only those who will be born in the future. Rather, he comes to include everybody whose derech it is to be born. So lafuke mai. So in that case, who does it come to exclude? Lafuke dagim v'ofos. It comes to exclude dagim and ofos. Why? Because dagim and ofos aren't born from a mother in a traditional sense. Rather, there's an intermediary. What's the intermediary? The intermediary is an egg. So obviously, you have a fish. You have a or if you have a chicken, the chicken will lay an egg. The embryo will grow inside the egg and then will ultimately hatch. But since the embryo doesn't come right out, since the fetus, the baby animal, the baby bird doesn't come right from the body of its mother, that is not considered to be Misha Darko Livali. So it comes out, according to the Chachamim, the way the Gemara ultimately explains, that when the guy makes a neder on Nolden, it comes to include both those who will be born in the future as well as those who were born in the past. And not only human beings, but also animals whose derech it is for the young, for the offspring, to be born directly from the mother, coming to exclude only fish and fowl, which are born from an egg and don't come directly from their mother. So God willing, we'll pick up tomorrow with further Mishnayos discussing Nedarim Halchin Achar Lashon Bnei Adam and other examples of that.